Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com.
Mully and Hall, live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
I think when we trade up for guys, it's the first thing that comes to my mind, Kevin, is the conviction that we have throughout our building. You know, so when there's kind of a consensus pick, and you can feel it from our coaches and scouts. And I know that everybody's going to be excited when we make that selection and walk out of that room. It gives me more confidence to go do that.
Consensus is just a nice term that scouts use, that personnel directors use. He had consensus. It doesn't mean anything. There's no way. In fact, if you read Daniel Kahneman's new book called Noise, consensus is really nothing but noise that you're making a bad decision. Because here's the reality. Not everybody is as well informed for the decision as you are. That's why they're paying you $3 million a year or $4 million a year. You know, people tell you, one of Bill Gates' biggest problems he has when he goes to a meeting is that he feels like nobody will challenge him because he knows everybody thinks he's the smartest person in the room.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. I don't know if it was just noise coming out of Ryan Pace yesterday, David. We both were on that Zoom meeting with the media that lasted the 20 minutes required by the NFL. But it was hard to get past that as the one thing he said that kind of jumped off the page at you. This idea that everybody, you know, they want to have everybody on board with what they're doing. I don't know that you need confidence to go up and make a move if you have personal conviction about what that move is. But I would hope that we would have a situation like you go, it's like the old Jewish scholars, where you would challenge a guy as he's making a point and even say something along the lines of, well, if you're making this argument, then you should say this. Like, you can support someone's argument by challenging it. And I think that, I'm not saying that doesn't happen, but the idea that you're going to make a pick because, you know, when you come out, everyone's going to cheer and there's going to be a lot of high fives and everyone's celebrating, that's insane to me.
Okay, let me agree with you with an asterisk, okay? And let me challenge what you're saying there. Not sure. Necessarily challenge. It sounds a little strong, but in the spirit of this conversation, I agree totally with the fact that you can't run an organization that way. You have to, at some point in time, hold yourself accountable and be confident enough in the convictions that you have over a decision that you make, even if it's a big one, like they did with Mitch Trubisky. And I applauded him that night because I thought it was, hey, a general manager acting with conviction. That said, and we accept those truths, this is not the year that I want Ryan Pace to prove to anybody, and I don't think it's best for the Bears' future for him to try to go into draft night thinking, I'm going to show them that I have this conviction and I haven't lost it, and I'm going to get my guy, even if it means, you know, mortgaging the future to prove my point. No. I want him to be worried about a consensus maybe this year and to say, okay, I'm going to go into this with a clear head and without trying to prove a thing. I'm going to block out the noise and any external pressure that I might feel to make a splash, because this isn't a decision about the next 8 to 10 months. That ideally it's one that can help you the next 8 to 10 years. Give me my offensive tackle. Give me my cornerback. Let's move on. Let's maybe tread water at the quarterback position because we're going to get our guy in the second round. Maybe that's not your generational guy yet. Maybe he is. But don't try to prove a point that's too difficult to make in this draft.
You know, everything's on the table with the quarterback. That is what we were told when the offseason began. And I think that they have to come out of this draft with a quarterback that they feel good about moving forward. Not a guy that has to start this season, because we know this is Mike Glennon's year. Oh, I'm sorry. No, it's Andy Dalton's season. Whatever the turn of phrase was, he's QB1. Okay, that's fine. But you better have somebody that, you know, you don't have QB1 beyond this year. He's on a one-year deal, and he's not a guy that you have a big future with. He's a stopgap guy. Whatever way you want to break it down, it's you know, he's going to start this year. That would be the idea, but you would have somebody else. And let's say Vegas is right and the Bears are a 7-win team. If they go through a bad stretch and they come out of it with a young quarterback who's playing at the end of the season, that's a way that people use to keep their job. Look how well the offense is working with the new guy. Oh, wait till next year. That is a storied method of coaches keeping their job, of GMs keeping their job in the NFL. That's worked 1,000 times. And I'm not saying that they should just take someone for that reason, but they need to have someone moving forward that you can believe in. There are guys that they could get in the second round that may actually serve that purpose. I don't know, though, that moving up and giving up the kind of draft capital that it would take to do that is a wise idea. And again, Brad Biggs reporting that, or his mock draft, let's put it that way, yeah, it has the Bears moving up, and he's been consistent about that as a possibility for this team. Now, we don't know who's falling. We would suspect that it would be the fifth quarterback off the board that they could get if they were to move up, and they give up an awful lot to be able to get the fifth guy. You know, they're not getting Trevor Lawrence. They're not getting well, I guess I don't know if they want Zach Wilson. I don't know how good he's going to be, but we haven't talked about Zach Wilson to the Jets at all. That just happened. That was the assumption. They traded their quarterback, and that's what they're doing. It's so weird that hasn't been picked apart at all. We spent hours talking about Fields and Trey Lance and Mac Jones, and we haven't really talked about, I mean, Trevor Lawrence, everybody knew what was going on. Zach Wilson just sort of snuck in there, and no one even second-guessed what the Jets are doing.
Well, there's no suspense there. I mean, they showed their hand early, and when I think Jacksonville, even though Urban Meyer put the top three quarterbacks in his mind through the Zoom sessions and to evaluate them thoroughly, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, and Trevor, through, you know, his own sort of analysis and vetting process. Yeah, Zach Wilson to the Jets has been a little bit overlooked, but it won't be for long, Mully. Don't worry. I think the tabloids are ready to pounce. But I think, you know, with Pace, it's just that you worry about him, you know, being motivated by the wrong things, as you point out. The job insecurity that we have maybe attached to next season, maybe that's not the reality. I don't know. But I want him to be driven, or the compelling force behind his decision on draft night, to be not necessarily the weakness of his resume and how he needs to strengthen it. I want it to be the weakness of the roster and how they need to strengthen it. That's got to be what drives him more than anything. And when you look at that roster, you know, and you're thinking about next season, the obvious holes are, yeah, there's quarterback depth that you want, but the offensive line and the cornerback position, and then wide receiver, I think, are 1, 2, 3 in terms of need.
Well, I think that's interesting, David, because I think that when we talk about their needs, I think they need a corner immediately. I don't know that they have a corner. We're going to get into defensive backs, but I don't know that they have.
That. Yeah, I guess, you know, that's a good debate, 1 versus 2, you know, offensive line versus cornerback. You think cornerback?
Well, I just think they don't have – I mean, I don't know that they have two starting corners. And they lost their nickel too, right? So
I'm
not sure that they can get through without having a pretty decent player at the cornerback position. Now, we'll get into all this, but the depth of it might – in the second round, you get a pretty good corner. As far as the offensive tackle is concerned, they have two guys they can line up. I mean, I think they need an offensive tackle, and I think they have a chance to get a really good one, one of the real serious players. To me, the wide receiver thing is an obvious need, but it's also an obvious need moving forward. You know, we heard from yesterday from Allen Robinson. He won the Piccolo Award. He was the veteran winner of the Piccolo Award, which is a great award, and it's a very meaningful thing. It's the 50-year anniversary. I jumped back on to watch that because I love that ceremony, and it means a lot about the history of the organization. I thought it was fascinating that his teammates voted for him, and Darnell Mooney was the rookie winner of that award. So that's your receiving core right there. But Allen Robinson is on a one-year deal, and it's a one-year deal that he jumped on after they brought in Kenny Golladay and talked to him. So it was, if you go back and look at it, he didn't want the franchise tag. He wasn't going to take the franchise tag. They put the franchise tag on him. He was upset about it. Kenny Golladay comes and visits. He signs the franchise tag. And I'm not criticizing him about that. He didn't sound like a guy too interested in taking part in any of their voluntary off-season program either, to be brutally honest about it. And I don't know how... You know, I don't know how that works going forward, but my point is you're going to need someone to play that position beyond Allen Robinson. You're going to need to get a pretty good receiver. So you're really, you know, everything else is not in place. Let's put it that way, David. You need those three positions pretty much, not just this year, but moving forward. And I'll throw quarterback in there. Quarterback's the most important
quarterback's
position.
Always there. Quarterback's always there.
It.
It's going to be
a
perpetual need. And
yes.
Wide receiver, frankly, is a luxury you might not be able to afford in your first couple picks, given, you know, the cornerback realities and the offensive tackle and line realities. You know, Allen Robinson, to finish that thought before we get to the phone lines and Perry, I think Allen Robinson sounded yesterday like somebody who signed the franchise tag before the money ran out. And we saw from a report from Field Yates, the Bears are $400,000 under the cap. And his rankings, according to that information, they are the last in the league. They have the smallest amount of space under the cap. Allen Robinson got his guarantee, signed it. But if you expect him to show up at these offseason OTAs, whenever they start, and they talked a lot about that yesterday, which I didn't quite get. But I don't think he's going to be eager to be at the front of that line. And I don't think it matters with a guy like that.
You think people are planning vacations or something? Is that why that was such a
timely
conversation?
Yeah.
Okay. The score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter. Beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. 312-644-6767. Perry is listening on the Odyssey app. Morning, Perry.
Hey, Perry.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Hey, so I don't mean to be Mr. Downer about Pace and Phillips, but the Bears, you guys are hitting right point. You have a better chance of a success with your first two picks being a corner and a offensive lineman. The receiver, I think the odds of getting a decent receiver in the later rounds is okay, so that's the way I would go. But the problem I have is, you know, I'm really just insulted with that press conference yesterday. So I have a question for Mr. Pace. Was the group in when they got Glennon? Was the group in when they got Mitch? And why do you have the same group picking with two disasters? The bottom line is, everybody knows he's lying about that. You should have your offensive guru coach, and you should be picking the quarterback. And I don't want to hear about this group of guys, because it's the same group of guys that keep making the same mistakes, and why are they still employed? So it doesn't make sense. I'm calling BS on Ryan Pace for that comment. I believe he wanted that quarterback, and he struck out. Anyway, that's enough.
Yeah.
Thanks, Perry.
Well, you know, Perry, that is, I mean, when you're talking about Mitch, by all accounts, no one was allowed to know what they were going to do, and no one knew what they were going to do. And, there wasn't a lot of consensus. That was Ryan Pace's pick, and he's the guy that moved up to make sure he got the guy. So, is that once bitten, twice shy? I don't know.
Can I offer another observation just because it might explain this and it might not? But I think part of it, too, is just the clumsy execution of the public relations aspect of the job. And I don't know when Ryan Pace, and I understand why we're talking about it, because the consensus, all the reasons that we pointed out, they're all valid. And if he really meant that, then it's easy to take issue with what he said. I just don't know how much he really meant it. And I don't really know if that was exactly what he wanted to say and convey it in that way. I just don't think he's a real skilled communicator, Molly. I don't think he has a ton of savvy at that part of the job. He may be a terrific guy, a great tape, and he may be a good negotiator. We don't know about these things. The only thing that we can look at is the results of his team, and they don't have a playoff victory in 6 years. This is his seventh draft. But I do think that we've heard enough and have seen enough, even in the frequent times. He's not real savvy here. And that may be awkwardness or clumsiness that remains part of the deal behind the microphone. He's folksy. He's a pleaser. He wants to be liked. And in doing that, knowing that, he says some things that raise some questions like what we're raising this morning, because it just doesn't add up.
Well, I think part of the problem is there are – and this goes for not just him. It goes for Ted Phillips and George McCaskey when they were on their Zoom call at the end of the year. They have indefensible positions. So as a result of defending a kind of indefensible position, well, we're bringing everyone back. And, you're going to try some weird arse kind of back pretzel logic. We lost six in a row. God, fantastic. Did any other team make the playoffs with six losses? That's the point. Don't try to make that a positive. There's nothing positive about it.
Messaging has always been a challenge at Hal's Hall. And it's not necessarily what they're saying. Sometimes it's how they're saying it. And then it becomes or when they're saying it. And there's always been that sort of disconnect between, if you can make perception kind of – manage perception better, regardless of the reality, sometimes it buys you the benefit of the doubt that the Bears no longer enjoy, and certainly not Ryan Pace. So it's easy to pick apart, and it's easy to dissect, and it's way too easy to criticize, more easy than it should be 7 years into the job.
All right, we've got defensive backs next. We're going to do our draft breakdown. Mully and Hall on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. Mully and Haw's NFL Draft Breakdown.
Defensive backs, yes indeed. It's not an overwhelming group. There is some really good corners at the top, and there is great value all the way into the second round. What's fascinating is how much of a contrary opinion there is. Again, you got to remember with defensive backs that system matters, that teams are looking for different types of guys, and there are rarely guys that fit. And sometimes it's all about the fit for some guys, and other guys can play pretty much anywhere. I would say that this year there is a consensus among scouts about Patrick Surtain II coming out of Alabama. Everyone believes he's the surest defensive player, certainly defensive back, and the guy to worry about. A Texas Christian has a safety in Trevon Moehrig, who is generally regarded as maybe the only safety that's going to be drafted in the first round. There will be a lot of corners taken. There are some really good ones. Horn is a good corner, and Newsom out of Northwestern. David, you mentioned maybe the most intriguing prospect, a guy in Caleb Farley, who has everything measurable, everything you'd want, tons of injuries. Guy, if he could run, he'd run a 4.3, but he's coming off his second disc surgery, two different discs in his back. He's had a knee. You mentioned COVID. I mean, this poor guy, if if you could get him up and standing, he might be as good a player as you're going to find, but he's going to be a medical flag on a lot of teams that will not take him.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that makes corner deeper in this draft than safety in terms of first-round picks, in terms of overall depth, perhaps. I think the Bears look at this in terms – we'll talk about the specifics later, but their needs reflect the strength of the defensive back batch, and that is in the cornerback position. Patrick Surtain could be a star, could be a guy that is a top 10 pick, could be the first defensive player off the board. You understand why when you watch tape of him. He can do it all. J.C. Horn, good pedigrees, these guys, right? Their fathers were NFL players. Joe Horn, somebody call somebody from the goalpost with a cell phone. Joe Horn, you remember him from the Saints. J.C. Horn is a DB from South Carolina. They're ready to play now. Caleb Farley, if he were able to be upright and healthy, he has the skill set that he could be projected as a day one, week one starter. Absolutely. But is he going to be healthy? Can you trust him for 16 games? I don't know the answers to these questions. As Mike Lombardi said, he knows one team that doesn't even have him on the board. Greg Newsome, local kid, looking really like he's going to be a first-rounder. That's going to be a great story. We'll talk about him more with Fitz at 8 o'clock. But overall, good, deep position.
Bears need.
Well, there's need here. I mean, I think we talk a lot about Kyle Fuller, their best corner, being off this team, and $20 million due to him because they kept tapping into the bank of Kyle Fuller and they couldn't come up with any kind of long-term agreement with him, which is really a pity because, you know, a guy that was drafted here and had a rough start to his career and then really became a great part of a very good defense. So he's gone. He's in Denver now. He took $9.5 million when he couldn't get his $20 million, so it's a pity that they couldn't have come to some sort of resolution here in Chicago, but that's how these things work. Don't forget that Buster Skrin was also a cap casualty. So you've lost two guys. If as we often talk about, the nickel guy being a starter, you've lost two guys from your secondary that you have to replace. So I think that they signed Desmond Trufant. He got $1,075,000 on a one-year deal, and Artie Burns was brought back. Remember him? He suffered a knee injury in camp last year. They had signed him to a one-year deal, so they gave him another one-year deal. I think it's like $990,000. So those are two guys. Even if Trufant, I mean, he's been like an every-other-year type guy, really battled injury. I like Jalen Johnson. He was battling some shoulder issues. You got to get a corner here, man, and you got to get a corner fairly quickly, and you got to get one that's going to help you. I understand that they feel they have guys that can fill in and do some things, but you know, they need a corner. And by the way, that safety position is always one that you can get a guy that can help you out a ton on special teams and maybe eventually move into the starting lineup. So yes, big need.
Yeah, the safety position is one the Bears have proven you can wait until later in the draft to find somebody who might even contribute as a rookie, whether it's Adrian Amos or Eddie Jackson. The list goes on, but the need exists immediately at cornerback. You're right. You could debate whether or not that or offensive tackle is a greater need. Most days, I think it'd be 60-40 cornerback versus tackle, and that's why you go into this almost with a mandate to find somebody that you can – plug into this defense. Now Trufant, Desmond Trufant is a low risk. You didn't pay him a ton. He's got 103 starts as an NFL cornerback, so you know he can do the job, but can he stay healthy, and what kind of job will he do at this stage of his career? So there are guys out there that you would be willing to take a calculated risk at, perhaps at number 20. Maybe if you trade back, you could also feel confident there'd be a corner there that could help you. But I think that you feel like whether it's offensive tackle or cornerback, depending on the consensus that is built at Hallis Hall, one of those two positions, I think we both can agree that those are the two biggest need areas as we enter this draft.
Bears options.
Well, I think they need to draft one, and they need to do it fairly high. I mean, I'm not telling you they got to take a corner with a first-round pick, but if someone is sitting there, they've got to consider it. That might be a position where someone falls to you. I think in the second round they could get a really good corner. Unfortunately, I think you're right, David. I think that maybe offensive tackle is a more longer term type need for them. They can buy their way through this and then see what they can do in the off season. I think Jalen Johnson has to be healthy and has to be a really good player, but they need another guy. And I would worry about Chiffont and Burns as the primary backups or the primary competitors for a starting role. I think Chiffont can bail you out a little bit here, but I think there, in terms of options, you know, corners will be here. There will be guys later in the draft, and they can use, you know, they got these 4 6-round picks. I think we're picking up every position every time we talk about a position. We can always use one of those 6-round picks. They might need to go a little higher. They might need a player that can help them a little quicker.
This is the consensus that I would push at Hallis Hall. I would look at it, okay, stay at 20. If you want to do anything, move back to get maybe additional picks in the first two or three rounds, if it's the beginning of the third round. And if you stay at 20, whichever position, and maybe it's, hey, boy, if Christian Darrisaw dropped to you and he's the tackle that's staring you at the face, and you right. have a cornerback need, I think whatever position is rated highest when you're sitting there picking 20th on your board, that is a position and player you go with. If that's a cornerback, if that's Greg Newsome, for instance, from Northwestern, then if he's rated higher than the next tackle, if it's the Oklahoma State tackle, then you take the cornerback. If it's the offensive tackle ahead of Greg Newsome, maybe you take the tackle. But you have to have that in play, and you have to go into the first round of this draft expecting to possibly take a cornerback if he's the highest on your board, because there are several, including Caleb Farley, that we don't know where the Bears are on him, but it could be a cornerback at the top of the draft board. So keep your options open, cornerback or offensive tackle. Take the highest rated guy.
Sleeper.
I'm going to go with Zach McPherson from Texas Tech. This is a guy that played 3 years at Penn State, got a degree, went to Texas Tech, got a master's, and, you know, he's got good enough size, good enough speed, good enough vertical jump, etc., good enough athleticism, loves the game. I like a guy that is a smart guy and someone that you can kind of trust. So I think in a late round pick, that might be a guy to grab.
I'm going to go with Michigan State, Shakur Brown, who has undersized issues, like 5'10 is not going to be something that stands out, but he's a pretty good player, was all Big Ten, and on a bad Michigan State team, I thought he stood out on several Saturdays. Also, the Mel Tucker connection with Sean Desai, you figure they'll get good recommendations on a Shakur Brown. So if he's there fourth through the sixth round, maybe he's a guy you take a chance on. James Wiggins, if you're looking at safeties from Cincinnati, could be one of those guys we talked about, sixth rounder, late rounder, that plugs in and makes the roster.
Best pace pick at position.
I think the best defensive back he's taken is Eddie Jackson. And, you know, Eddie needs a bounce back year. It's between Eddie Jackson and Adrian Amos. But Amos is playing for the Packers, so I'm going with Eddie Jackson.
Yeah, I think that you have to, because it's a fourth-round pick versus a fifth-round pick. Both guys smart picks and examples of what you can find deep in the draft at the safety position if you don't necessarily go in thinking it's a need area. But, yeah, Eddie Jackson, who is due for a big year. He was the reason you want to remember the 2017 draft that everybody in Chicago wants to forget.
Worst pace pick.
It's got to be DeAndre Hall, just because you used a fourth rounder on him out of Northern Iowa. You ended up trading him a couple years later for a seventh round pick. It would have been higher, but he got cut in training camp by the Eagles. So I guess a guy that, I mean, I think he's playing in Canada. I think he's had a lot of run in Canada.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with the 2019 draft. No offense, but Steven Denmark, I know he was a seventh rounder, but I don't know that you ever want to draft anybody out of Valdosta State when you could maybe sign him as a free agent. And I just wanted to say that, you know, it seemed like it was rotten in Denmark.
Wow. Overall recommendation.
All right, They've spent a lot of time over the Pace era picking up veteran guys, Quentin Depps, Clinton Dix, Prince, who worked out, Crevon LeBlanc. They have gone out and signed a bunch of Tracy Porter. I mean, there's like a 100,000 guys that they have gone. Antrell Roll, don't forget that one. They've gone out and they've tried to sign guys and tried to bring them in and used a lot of stopgaps in the secondary. I think that losing a guy like Fuller really is a problem. And I think that the, you know, Kyle Fuller would hit every once in a while and it would change the momentum of a game. I mean, he was a physical, tough corner who really developed in your scheme. And I think he would have been great with this new change. I feel bad that they could not afford him, and it was a mistake to let him go because it was a mistake not to get him signed to an extension before it became an issue.
I'm going to stick with what I said yesterday. You go into this draft thinking the offensive tackle is going to fall to you. Christian Darrisaw would be my number one pick. But if the offensive tackle, if he's gone and you have a cornerback that is rated higher, be prepared to take a cornerback in the first round. I really hope it's not Caleb Farley, as much as he's ready to go in week one. If he's healthy, he could be ready to start in an NFL defense right now. Maybe Greg Newsome. That would be a great story. But beyond the narrative, he can play some football. So be prepared to draft an offensive tackle. But if that the guy you want isn't on the board, you better pivot quickly and draft a cornerback, because those, to me, are your two most pressing needs.
All right, that's our draft breakdown. We got Ozzie Guillen joining us next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Ozzie Guillen.
That's a White Sox baseball.
Analyst for NBC Sports Chicago.
La Pantera. My man is trying Pantera.
La Pantera.
There you go.
2005 World Series winning manager of the White Sox.
Tying run at second, two out. Palmeiro over the head of Jenks. Uribe charges, throws. Out! And the White Sox have won the World Series. Juan Uribe with a play, charging it, throwing it, and the White Sox celebrate their first title in 88 years.
No holes barred baseball opinions.
Eaton, nobody like you.
Did you give Adam Dunn a mental break, or he just...
I had two bottles of vodka.
Ozzie Guillen with Mully and Hall on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a joy to talk to Ozzie Guillen, brought to you by Alpamonte Nissan. Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue or apnissan.com. Morning, Oz. How are you?
Morning, Oz.
Hey. Going on? Very good. Everything's good.
All right. So, not everything is good. Louis Robert out of the lineup. That was kind of a shocker. And, you know, I just think he's so important to this team because of all of the questions regarding how you're going to manage the outfield and how much ground he covers. And by the way, his bat's been pretty hot. What was your take on that? And how much do you miss a guy like that when he's not around?
Well, I walked into the studio and the first shock, they told me, was like, Robert's not in the lineup. He's not feel well. I said, oh, my God, another one down? But he's got it only a few days. Tony Russo says he's got it a few days. You don't know. He just prevent, just in case. It's kind of like dealing, not feel good about it. You know, now with the COVID, people have to have very careful about it. You know, I just talked to Hermie Snyder yesterday during the game. That, you know, with that. The protocol and everything is very, very, very specific, very careful. Hermes Snyder told me, you know, I mean, this is a, you know, I mean, one thing about it, they really care, they really put attention to it, and that's the reason they wait for Roberts in the parking lot at the test. They will find out the test is supposed to be at 3 o'clock in the morning, Chicago time. But you know, I mean, that guy starts in the bat better. And see, like, everything start going good for the White Sox or the Sun. Something happened. You see the lineup yesterday. You know, you can see the difference when Roberts is in the lineup. But hopefully, they had to deal with it for a few days. And hopefully, they play good in the opposite, whoever go to represent his position, play well. But it's no doubt these guys, you know, I mean, you know how Jimenez, then no doubt you need this guy in the lineup to make the lineup, you know, look very good or look better.
Ozzy, we spent a lot of time this morning talking about Lucas Giolito being left in the game when it appeared that he was tired, and he talked about that later, and he gave up the home run, as well as Billy Hamilton, Lurie Garcia batting in the ninth inning with the, you know, they represented the tying runs instead of maybe Andrew Vaughn or some other options. What would you say? You've been second guessed before. You've been in that position as Tony La Russa is. What would you say to Sox fans if their confidence in Tony La Russa has been shaken a little bit in this first month?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because when I hear, you know, we make a comment about Giolito, I know right away that he always tweaking his body and he started moving around like kind of dancing, break dancing on the mound, and he's showing you he started to feel out of gas. And I've seen it day in and day out. And when these guys on early in the game, just very compassionate, very good. But as soon as you start getting trouble, start getting tired or looking for more, he's always start checking his hand, checking his arm. You know, one thing about me, because I know Blink Tony. Tony, you don't know the guy. You got the best guy out there. He's my number one guy. It's two things about he's not working for Tony. It's the thing. When they take him out, why did he take him out so early? When he left him there, and why are you going to let him there? You know, I mean, you always going to be, this is a moment when you got to check, when every time manager got to be second guessing is a time when they go to the bullpen. That's it. Is the bullpen come out good? They got, you know, one pitch away. Tony just hopefully can get out the inning. That's what he wanted. The guys could get out that inning. And it was out of gas, of course, but my question is, the pitching coach, I think it's Katz, not Giolito, son. He's got, what, 2 years old? And right. Why not tell Tony? Why not tell Tony? Say, Tony, you know what? This guy's out of gas. Let's get somebody up right away. Because the pitching coach should know Giolito more than he does, because Giolito's, you know, I mean, talking very high about him. A lot of people, I like it, what he does with the players, what I see, what I hear. But is this man know exactly? This guy was out of gas. His job is to let Tony know what he see. I don't want to say, he might did, you know, maybe Tony say, okay, yeah, I just want to let him, hopefully can get out of any, so many things, but yesterday, yes, I think he let him a little bit too long and he paid the consequence.
Yeah, I don't know him at all, Ethan Katz, and I haven't heard a ton from him. He's 37 years old. He's half the age of Tony. I wonder if he's intimidated by him.
Well, you know what? You're coaching for that. I'm the only one, Jim Leland, as again, that's the type of guy I can coach for Tony, because we can say stop to him and be upfront with him and try not just to tell him what to do. That's not the job of coach stuff, but tell them about, you know, me prevent, get a little bit of advice, like what you think to help him. You always got to give little advice for the coaches, but you're the one going to make the move. And I think that's very important, especially now when you just know the team for 1 month, because spring training, no count. You see a spring training pitcher go out there for 1-2 innings, leave, guy for 2 at-bats, you don't know them personal, you don't know how they react when you get upset. You know what I mean? You don't know how to react, you know how to handle it with the media, they're going to get hurt. Or their feelings are going to get hurt, or you're going to get the best out of them when you talk back to them. It's a lot of them behind the scene. People, they don't know exactly how managing how to handle the players. And nowadays, this is harder. You know, I mean, nowadays, players have to listen to the manager. And that's one thing about, like, oh, my God, it's not going to be easy for Tony, at least for a few months, to know exactly what he has, exactly what they want, exactly what, you know, I mean, every time he's, like myself, I like every time Tony, to me, I'm watching every game. Every time Tony let a pitcher go, a bullpen guy, and go more than 2 innings, he get in trouble. I think in bullpen is 1 inning guy. That's what I think because the arm is very good. Most accurate arm. And he throw hard. I say, you know, you're just one inning, you out, one inning, you out. But in the meanwhile, you're going to take a little while to find out exactly what the guys, what they're made up to.
I respect what you're saying, Ozzie, but how long does that process take realistically? Because this is a White Sox team where every game does matter. And, I mean, are we talking about midseason? Because when you lose two games in the first month, that your manager admits maybe he stuck with the pitcher too long, or you didn't quite realize that this communication gap was what it is, it gets a little frustrating.
You're 100% right. You know, to me, it's easy. I see those guys for little while, you know, I see the guy day in and day out. I make a comment last Dylan C's outing and Kopech outing about what I have in my mind that, you know, we should put Kopech starting lineup and the starting rotation, move Dylan to the bullpen and get Kopech, you know, four inning start, a couple of days, they skip one time, then put it back again. And, you know, obviously a couple guys, they know baseball more than I do, more ball pitching than what I do, they disagree with. But it's only about pitch count. And today or tomorrow, I'm going to show in the show how many games Cope can go without getting injury. You know, talk about 110 pitch. You can find that at the bullpen. They're talking about 20 games, maybe. Well, 20 games. If you win 15 out of those 20 games, you're in first place. Smiling, because Kopech is the best pitcher the White Sox have, with all respect, because I do like his pitching staff very much. Lynn, Keiko, Yolito, but the best pitcher they have all the way to right now, to today, is Mr. Kopech, no matter if he's out of the bullpen or throw or starting lineup. And you don't want to waste those bullets waiting. You just give this guy the opportunity, this kid want to be the starter, and you figure out by numbers now, because everything is by numbers now, you figure out how we can cover those 110 innings having him in the starter. You can skip him, like I say, and all of a sudden you power the inning and you keep it up all the way to the end of the season. And I think, you know, I mean, to go to the playoff, you got to win the division first. And I think Kopech is a very good weapon for them to win the division.
Wow. Great stuff, Ozzie. Thanks a ton. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Oz.
All right, guys. Take care.
Keep up the good work.
That's Ozzie Guillen. That is unbelievable that he said that. I'm fascinated by that. I got to think that through. We're going to bring in Coach Fitz next. Pat Fitzgerald will join us. The program on the verge of history. First time a Northwestern team has had two number one picks. That's the anticipation heading into Thursday. We'll talk to Coach Fitz next. Mully and Hall on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.